Amen. I believe the song statement says something this morning, right? I believe it said, I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul. You know, that's where He wants us to be as His children, as His people. He wants us to be in love with Him, you know. And good to see everybody come this way. I've got a few verses of Scripture I want to share with you today. We're going to talk about some needy people, a couple of needy men. The illustration's in here. One of them's physical, one of them's spiritual. But there's still a need, and God answered both situations. And I'm proud to bring it. You know, this is just an absolute privilege to get to share God's Word, isn't it? You know, the truth in a world that's confused, in a world that's sometimes deceived, in a world that's looking and grasping and looking for, we've got it. Yeah. Amen. They can come down here at New Salem Baptist Church and get the truth. You know, that's an amazing thing, isn't it? May not get it anywhere else in this world and time. But I'm not going to get political this morning. I'm here to serve the Lord and just give Him praise, honor, and glory in all things. And we're going to talk about the need of two different men. And I thought about this. I thought, now, how's that going to lead into a baptism? But it will. It will, one way or the other, you know. I guarantee you, we got a candidate for baptism back here. And are you ready? Wave your hand. Amen. She's ready. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the way we like them to come. Ready. Let's look to the Word of God this morning. If you'll turn with me in the Scriptures in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We're going to talk about the need of a man that had been answered. You know, before, if you started in this in Acts chapter 3, you'll find that there was a man came down to the house of God, and he had been lame from his mother's womb. And I'm just going to catch this up very quickly. Been lame from his mother's womb. He came down to the temple of God. He came down to ask alms. And I'm going to tell you, he came down and he got more than expected. You know, I like that when people go to the house of God and get more than they expect. You know, he came down hoping just for a few crumbs of bread or a little bit of money that he might buy something to hold him over the next day. I'm telling you, God healed him. You know, and I like the point they came down and he looked on Peter, and then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Rise up and walk. Now you talk about precious power and the power of God demonstrated by these men down there in the temple. They said, we don't have any silver and gold. We can't help you with that. How about if God heals you and you rise up and walk? And after a lifetime of lameness and couldn't walk, I'm telling you, the man came to his feet, said he leaped, he walked, he ran, and it stirred up something down in the temple. Now, you know, I think about this all the time. When this man got healed, it said he got up and he started walking and talking and leaping and praising God. And I could imagine right there in that temple might be where there hadn't been too much excitement lately. All of a sudden, somebody got fired up in the house of God. Can you imagine when this man was healed and he starts leaping and praising? Everybody looking around say, what's that all about? What's taking place? What's going on? Well, it was the power of God being demonstrated, and it got people to an excited point. So let's go a little bit farther with this. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 5, now, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Now, that's pretty much everybody that's anybody. You know, that was the in crowd, I guess you'd say, down at the temple. You know, I have a problem with that. I don't believe big eyes, little U's in the church. You know, I don't think it's ever worked, and I don't think it ever will work. We come on an equal basis as children of God. But here's this group got together, and you know, I can imagine their conversation. They're standing around saying, what just happened here? Well, you know, they were so unused to seeing the power of God demonstrated down there in their temple that this was a shock to them. They said, somebody's responsible. We got to find out what's going on. They had lost power. They had lost control because God took it over. I like it when God takes over the church, don't y'all? Y'all ever thought about that? When God comes in and that Holy Spirit of God anoints us and baptizes us and God takes over the church, that we may not say exactly what we're wanting to say, but we say what God wants to say. That we may not sing the way we want to please us, but we might sing to God that it pleased Him. And so when God takes over, and so they come in, and everybody that's somebody, they call them in, verse 7, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or what name have you done this? Now understand, we're talking about the high priest. We're talking about the elders. We're talking about all their kinfolks down in the temple, down in the house of God. And they didn't know what had happened because they didn't know the power of God. I hope if God does a miracle here today, there's nobody going to be shocked by it. You know, I hope you're not going to be astounded and say, what just took place here? You know. But I thought about these folks, you know, they're the ones of the temple. They're the high bunch, even the elders and the scribes and all of them. And all of a sudden, when they come down, they ask, said, by what means or what name have you done this? They didn't know the name of Jesus. They didn't know the power of God. And so in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, he was astounded by it and asked a question. He said, y'all are examining us to know what's going on? He said, you're the priest and the rulers. He said, you know, you must not understand the power of God. You know, it's still happening in a lot of places today. I'm glad that God was here before you showed up. He's going to be here probably when you leave. And so here they are, and they're examining him. Peter and John are being examined about what took place, what went on. They don't have a clue about God's power. Here's some man that's been lame all of his life, and he's up walking around praising God, leaping and jumping and just giving God praise. And they think, what's taking place here? What's going on? And so in verse 10, they give them an explanation, said, be it known unto you all, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. And they just tell him exactly what's taking place. He said, it's through Jesus. It's through the name of Jesus. And I think about this all the time. We search for a lot of things in a lot of different areas, and it's about Jesus. You know, that's what it's all about. And so can you imagine Peter filled with the Holy Ghost saying, it's about Jesus. It was in his name. That's where the power of God came. And I thought about all these rulers, these elders, these priests, and all their kinfolk might have learned something that day. You know, they could have went away and lighted and learned something. In verse 11, he said, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't ever forget that verse. If you're seeking salvation, if you're seeking God's will in your life, it's going to come through Jesus. It said no other name. There's nothing else given. There's no other way. I know people look this way, they look that way, but until you look to Jesus, it's not going to make any difference. And so we got to look to Jesus. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for no other name's given. It's about Jesus, the Son of God, that gave his life on the cross of Calvary, shed his blood for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. And there comes the salvation from God, and his grace is demonstrated to us through that power only, Jesus. Peter filled up the Holy Ghost. I like that. Don't you like to feel the Spirit of God when he motivates you a little bit? We was getting this pretty close, wasn't we? In verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That one verse right there is what qualifies me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you think about me. Just take note that I've been with Jesus. Now see, that's what they did. They looked at them and they said they're unlearned. They're ignorant men. But they took note that they'd been with Jesus. Now, I'm telling you that Jesus makes a difference in all situations. When people can look at you and see this and see this and see that, I hope he sees Jesus and know you're a child of God because you've been with Jesus. They looked at him, they said there's something different about this group. said they've been with Jesus. I'm talking about the priest and the high priest and the scribes and the Pharisees and everybody down there in the temple. And I'm thinking, well, you know, this is a new thing to them. They're saying, they've been with Jesus. Sound like they needed some of that, didn't they? In verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. I love it when God puts the evidence right there. Don't you? And when there's not a question or there's not a doubt that this is a healing power of God and he put the evidence standing right in front of them, they don't have to wonder about what's taking place. They don't have to wonder if he's healed because they see it with their own eyes and they can experience that. Now, this man had a need. It was a physical need, you know, and he went down to the church to get it taken care of. But a physical need, God took care of this physical need. And I'm so thankful to serve a God today. It's the same God I've always served. It's a God that can, will, and wants to. And I thought about the physical needs we have in life and know this healing power of God. Let's go a little bit farther and let's talk about a spiritual need. And when we look at this in Acts chapter 8, there's a great movement going on down to church. Ooh, I'd like to have been there. Have y'all ever read through this, the first few chapters of Acts about the progress of the church? You know, the Lord had went to be with God. He's the right hand of the Father, and he had left this power of the Holy Ghost here with the people in Acts chapter 2. And I'm telling you, they put it to good work, and the church starts to expand and starts to grow, and they were coming in, they were hearing the word of God, they were people being converted. You know, one place it said 3,000 to 5,000 converted one day. I'd like to have been in that meeting. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, we get one or two saved here, and we get just nearly beside ourselves. I get on shouting ground and just praising God. And I thought, if I'd been there that day, that 3,000 got sold, that'd have been my last day. The Lord had just had to took me home, you know. Oh, Lord, I saw it now. But these things are going on in the church. And I'm telling you, but that was not without opposition. You find that Saul was against the church. We find the same thing today. We've got opposition against this church. We've got opposition against all the churches, the church. Hey, people don't like what's going on here today. In Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem far to worship, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read his eyes the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said unto him, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know, Philip, down there, the meeting is strong. Everything's going well. And God said, I want you to go down this way. And I thought about the love of God demonstrated here, that he had pulled Philip out of this position and situation he was in and send him down to witness and testify of Jesus Christ to one person. Now, you don't think God loves this eunuch? You don't think God loves you, that he'll send a man of God, Philip, one of the first deacons, and said, "Here, I want you to go down and set him straight, tell him the truth." Now, we're talking about men with need. First one was physical need. He was lame. He couldn't walk. Now, this time we find a man, he's also got a need. He's confused. He's confused. Now, a lot of people say, how do you know? Well, it said he didn't understand what he was reading. And so here's a man confused. He was coming back from Jerusalem, and no doubt he'd got down there, and he'd heard the Pharisees, he'd heard the Sadducees, he'd heard the Romans, he'd heard the Christians, he'd heard the Jews, he'd heard all these things, and he was having a hard time making sense of it. I think that's the kind of world we're in today. We're having a hard time making sense of it, right? I am. A lot of things I just can't quite comprehend, that I can't understand. They say, well, we need to do this, this, and this, but it's contrary to the Word of God. So I know it's wrong. And so here's Philip. He goes down, joins himself, runs down the chariot. Amen. I can imagine that. I'm glad to. If God had sent me, it had to stop the chariot, or I'd never caught it, you know. But I got thinking about it. He runs the chariot down, and he gets an invitation to come up and sit beside him. And he's asking him a very plain question. He said, I understand what thou readest. He said, how can I accept some man guide me? And I thought about not only this eunuch that God loved enough to send Philip to testify and help him understand, but also thought about how much he loves us, that according to Philip, he trusts him enough to share this gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's no respecter of person. He loves you just as much as he loved Philip. A lot of times people need to hear that they're loved, I think. God loves you just as much as he loved Philip. Down in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, if there's going to be salvation, that's what we're going to preach, is Jesus. You know, we're going to preach Jesus. We're going to believe Jesus. We're going to testify Jesus. That's what it's about. And so that's what Philip did, opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, you talk about the right answer. Amen. This is not close. This is not barely. But this is the right answer. See, Philip said, or the eunuch said, what would hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart. And so we come to the qualification of baptism right here. This man hath believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that qualified him not only for heaven, but also for baptism. Now he's qualified for both of them right there. Now a lot of people say, well, I'm going to heaven if I'm baptized or not. But they've missed the point that Jesus gave us when he came down to John. He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And so people that are saved by the grace of God, these believers in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, ought to have a desire for the baptism into the body of Jesus. We'll cover that in a minute. But I want you to think about this work that's going on of God. Here's a man that's in need, and all of a sudden he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His need was answered. A spiritual need, and God answered it. The same as he healed the lame man, he has healed this man from sin. Which is greater? Spiritual. Eternal life. In verse 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized. And he baptized. How did they go down? Both Philip and the eunuch in the water. Philip didn't stand on the bank and do this. And so we have the illustration of baptism. And it says later that the eunuch saw him no more and he went on his way rejoicing. Now that's the point it ought to bring to us, rejoicing. Let's look one or two more scriptures. I'm not quite through yet. In Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Now, when we get in talking about baptism, I want you to always understand that all baptism is tied with the resurrection. You know, resurrection is one of my favorite things in the world to talk about. I like to tell people I'm going to get up after death. This body and this flesh is going to lay down one of these days unless the Lord returns first, and that could happen. But the body and flesh is going to lay down. That spirit's going to go to be with God. And then one day the Lord comes back, brings that spirit, reunites it with this flesh, not another. Just as Job said, with these eyes, not another, I shall see God. And it's one of my pets to tell people, you may not like me now, you better get used to it. I'm never going away. You get to heaven, guess what? If I'm not there, I'm on the way. And I hope everybody has that confidence that's sitting here today, that if you're not in heaven, you're on the way. You got that reservation made. And so Romans chapter 6 and verse 1, let's tie this baptism into resurrection just a little bit. It said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Notice that. Where you're baptized? Into Jesus Christ. You're baptized into his death. So don't forget that. When you're baptized into Jesus Christ. And therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Baptism, resurrection, you can't separate them. I'm telling you, just in a little while, April's going to come up, and we're going to go back here, and I'm going to submerge her in this water, representing the death of Christ. Representing the death of Christ. You know, when he died on the cross and was buried, and then very shortly after that, she's going down representing Christ, and I'm going to bring her up to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord. That we're going to show the life that Jesus Christ has today. We're going to show the promise of life that he's given us through his death, through his blood, through his resurrection. That we have this same promise of the resurrection to come. Buried. And a lot of people say, well, what about this and this? I'm not arguing any point to anybody. I do a lot of funerals, and all of them lately that we've buried, we covered them up. And in the same recognition, I'm going to cover her up in that water. I'm not going to leave a toe sticking up or a hand sticking out or a nose sticking out. I'm going to bury her in baptism. Amen. I'm going to bury her. That's the burial I know. That's what I know of. And so I'm going to bury her in baptism just in a short time. And so I want you to understand that when you watch us today, as she goes down, she's representing the death of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when she's coming up, she's representing a resurrection that's still to come. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful picture to paint, isn't it? If I wasn't baptized, I'd be in line right now. I'd say, let me get in that line. Praise the Lord. Let's look a little bit farther. Now, what did we say? That you were baptized into Jesus Christ. We're baptized into his death, right? Over in Colossians, let's understand a little bit in Colossians chapter 1 and verse, I want to start in verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. That's Jesus. That's no doubt. No one else. Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. There's no doubt. Who is that talking about? Jesus, right? Jesus. It says no other name given. So this is Jesus. In verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominion or principality or power. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Then verse 18, talking about Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church. Did y'all get that? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Don't miss that. The head of the body, the church. Who's the head of this church? Jesus. Jesus. It's not me. It's not you. It's Jesus, the head of this church, which is his body. So back in Romans, I read to you that you're going to be baptized into Jesus. What is Jesus? The body of the church. Now, when you want to get into the church, it's through baptism into the body of Christ, which is Jesus, the church. It's not too hard to understand, is it? Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We're sitting in the body of Christ. We got there through baptism into the church. Into the church. Some people say, why do you baptize? First of all, God commanded it. He said, go ye therefore into all nations, teaching them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Commandment of God. That's why we do it. Why do individuals do it? Why do individuals usually do it? Answer of a good conscience before God, according to Scripture. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Answer of a good conscience towards God. Pretty simple, isn't it? That and about 37 other scriptures about baptism, and I could explain it to you more thoroughly, but I hope you understand that today we as a church, the body of Christ, are receiving a new member through baptism. Just in a few minutes, April's going to be the newest member we've got. The newest member we got until somebody can bump her out of that role, you know. You want me to open the doors of the church now or wait till you get through and do it? No, I'm just kidding with her. I'm just giving her a hard time. You come up, April. Catherine, you're going with her, right? Okay. I'll meet you down here in front.